Book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 29.
And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And, behold, a greater than Solomon is here."
Last week, if you remember, when he healed the demonic person who was even mute, when he cast the demon out, the people will start saying to him, "You are casting the demons with a Beelzebul's authority." So they wanted to have some kind of sign. How can we know that you are doing this according to the will of God? So here Jesus Christ is saying to these people, all these people are evil generation. And the evil generation asked for the sign. So he said, you will not get any sign from me, but you will have the sign like a sign of the prophet Jonah. We would not know what the prophet Jonah's sign is. I'm talking about the ordinary people. But if you read in the book of Jonah, when Jonah disobeyed God, he was thrown into the sea, and the big fish came, swallowed the Jonah. And he was in the fish belly for 3 days and three nights. And he repented and he asked God, "If you take me out of the fish belly, I will go to Nineveh and I'll preach." And so after 3 days, the fish vomited him and he came out. Then the word of God came to him and he said, "I'm going to go to Nineveh to preach." The Jonah was 3 days and three nights in fish belly. So he says, that will be the sign. They will crucify me. I will be in the earth for the 3 days and three nights, and then I will be resurrected. That will be sign to you. So that sign might be a greater than the Jonah sign. Jonah was not killed in the fish belly, but Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and after 3 days, he was risen. And Jesus Christ, after he was resurrected, he never died. The Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and after the 4 days, he came out of the grave, but he died again. Jairus' daughter, she died again. The widow's son, he died again. But the Jesus never died. Jesus said in Book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore." So he said, that will be the sign to this evil generation. And he says, the greater than Jonah is here. And then he gave then another example, that Queen of Sheba came to see the wisdom of Solomon. And he says, greater than Solomon is here. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 12, verse 6.
"But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple."
Now Jesus Christ is telling the people when they gather together, and he says, this temple, they were thinking temple is the holy place, temple was built for a long time, and he says, greater than temple is here. That means he says, you're worshiping in the temple, but I am greater than the temple. Verse 41, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Then we'll go back to Luke.
The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Now he said the people of Nineveh, when the Jonah came out of the fish belly, and he might have told his story. God told me to come to Nineveh, and I did not want to come, but I was swallowed by the fish. I prayed, and now I came out. So repent, otherwise God is going to destroy the Nineveh. People repented. Jesus Christ is saying, if those people in Nineveh repented, and if those people in the judgment time stand there and condemn the people who heard my message. So he says, greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Same thing he's saying, the Solomon was the greatest king. Very smart. God gave him wisdom. The queen came to see his wisdom, and she was very surprised. She said, I heard only 50%, but now I know how great the king Solomon was. So Jesus Christ is saying, if the queen of Sheba, and if she comes to know, Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, in judgment day she might condemn you. All the prophets came into this world. Jesus Christ is greater than any prophet ever born into this world. Solomon was the greatest king lived on this earth. Jesus Christ says, I am greater than the Solomon. So he is the greatest king. That's why he is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is greater than the temple, because when you read in Revelation chapter 21, the Word of God says Jesus Christ will be the temple for the believers. So from this we see Jesus Christ was trying to tell these people, you do not understand my coming. You do not understand my message. You do not understand my work. But the one day, you will be judged. And that's what he was trying to say. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 33.
No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light.
What he's saying, no man will take the candle or the lamp and hide somewhere. Just think, it's the middle of the night, and you came in the dark room and say, where is the light? Oh, I kept it secretly in some other place. You will be thinking, I'm fool. The light should be shining in the dark places. You cannot take the light and keep it in secret place and nobody knows where the light is. Otherwise, he said, nobody will take the light and put it under the bushel. If you have the light, your light should be shining. Let the whole world know that you are the light. Verse 34.
The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness.
Now here is comparing to the light to your eyes. Your eyes gives you light. Without eyes, we will not have the knowledge. When you read, when you see, you get the knowledge through the eyes. So the eyes, not only giving you wisdom and knowledge, keeps you holy. If you keep your eyes pure, he says, then your whole body will be light. So the word of God is saying, keep your eyes single or holy. If your eyes are holy, then your whole body will be holy. Otherwise, your whole body will be full of darkness. He's talking about the spiritual darkness. That's why our eyes should be sanctified. When I was not saved, I was watching movies. Not one, 5 movies in a day that only I can watch on Sundays. So you can see my mind was full of darkness. But the day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I made a commitment with my eyes. I will never watch movie again. And I kept it until today. So the point I'm making, just like as David says, I will not see anything evil. Why? Because he was looking at Bathsheba and he got into problem. Now he said, I'm not going to look at any girl, any lady with the evil eyes. And so our eyes is giving light and life to our body. God has given our eyes to glorify God. Praise God. Read the Bible. Study the word. Go to church. There are many people I saw. They were bad people. They're using their eyes for the bad reason. And they became blind. And I asked them, would you like to be healed? They said, no. I said, why? Because the eyes were taking us to hell. And now we don't have eyes. And we are serving the Lord. When I don't have eyes, my mind is tuned to God. I don't see any evil. I don't hear any evil. There is a scripture in the Word of God. It says, who is my servant? Who hears not. Who sees and sees not. And so, God has given us eyes to glorify Him, to read the Bible, go to church, and lead people to Christ. And so here the Word of God is saying, if your eyes are evil, then your body or your life will be full of darkness. Verse 35.
Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light.
I was not able to control my eyes, but when Jesus Christ came into my life, I dedicate my life to Jesus Christ. So what we need, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and He gives life to each and every one of us. So once we dedicate our life to Jesus Christ comes in, the darkness goes out. Because we were in the darkness, He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us in the kingdom of light. People are saying it is impossible to live a clean and holy life. Only God is holy. Our God is holy and He wants us to be holy. And how we can be holy? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 37.
And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat.
When Jesus Christ is preaching to these people, they were saying he is demon-possessed. He gave the answer that you are evil generation, asking for the sign. And these people heard and they got mad. So maybe they wanted to take a revenge. And so one Pharisee invited Jesus Christ, could you come to my house? Jesus Christ knew why this man was inviting. But he did not say, I'm not coming. Because Jesus Christ also was looking for opportunity to teach them the lesson and tell them the truth. So each and every opportunity he got, he used it. So if somebody invites you in their house, go and preach the gospel. Wherever you go, tell them about Jesus Christ. Now here's what Jesus did. That the Pharisees invited him. He went to his house and he sat down. He did not do anything, but these people start finding faults. Now, when you read this, sounds like Jesus Christ made a mistake. Because here he's trying to say, read the verse 38 and then I'll explain.
And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner.
The Pharisee was watching Christ very carefully. There was a system or custom, when you go to somebody's house, you wash your hands certain ways. Like you washing from your hands up to here, washing from here to here, maybe several times, wash your feet and everything, and then you go. When you're coming from the shopping, you wash your hands and feet. That's what their custom was. Now, Jesus maybe washed his hand, not their ways, but here he's saying Jesus Christ did not wash his hands. Sounds like Jesus Christ was not clean person. They said there was a custom, you have to wash your hand in certain ways. Jesus Christ might have just took the water and wiped it with his towel and did not do the ritual. And so this man, he had no courage to ask Jesus, why you didn't wash your hands the way we washed, you just didn't do our ritual. That's what he was going to ask. But he didn't have the courage. Read the verse 39.
And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness.
Jesus Christ understood. This man wants to ask something, and he's not asking, but he's grumbling in his mind. Sometimes people do not want to say something, but if you have the Spirit of God, you will know what they want. And so Jesus Christ is God himself. He knew the thoughts of this man. He did not say to him, you are asking me about cleaning my hands, washing the way you wash. He is trying to say, you know what? You people clean everything from outside, but inside you keep everything dirty. So he says, inward part should be clean. Read the verse 40.
Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?
God who made the outward part, he also made the inward part. And so the inward part is more important, which is our spirit. So he says, you do not concern about your spirit. You do not concern about your soul, but you are concerned about your body, outward body. And the same way today people are doing, they have a lot of makeups. They might be spending 2-3 hours to get ready and spending a lot of money on outward appearance, but their heart is full of evil and dirty, and their thoughts are dirty. The same way Jesus Christ was saying, you people are doing all outward rituals to keep yourself clean, but you are full of wickedness and you are all filthy inside. Verse 41.
But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Now here is saying, you judge the people differently. If somebody does something wrong, hit his mother or father, and he comes, say, okay, give some sacrifice or give something, and then everything will be all right. If I give my tithes and offerings, God will bless me. He says, this is what you do. You give your tithes on your herb, vegetable, and everything what you sell, you give tithe. And so he says, that's okay. But tithe is not important. Heart is important. If you remember, the Cain's offerings and Abel's offering. Cain bought vegetable or some grain. Abel bought the lamb sacrifice. Now what was wrong, somebody will say? He was the farmer, he got the grain or vegetable or fruits and things like that. And Abel maybe was a shepherd, so he got the lamb. So why God rejected Cain's offering and why he liked Abel's offering? If you go to Genesis chapter 4, you will see what was the reason. Cain was doing the offering all along. All the time he did the blood sacrifice regularly. And one time he thought, why should I give blood sacrifice all the time? I can give the grain offering. Now, when God says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. So now he wants to change it. If you would have said, Lord, I don't have money to buy the lamb for sacrifice, what should I do? The Bible says if you don't have a lamb, you get a turtle dove. This man is changing God's commandment and God's will, and he wants to do his own will. That's called self-righteousness. Start reading from verse 4. Genesis 4.
And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
Now here he says, when the Abel brought the offering, God respected Abel than his offering. So you know what God is looking at. He's looking at Abel first. If the Abel's heart is right with me, then I'll take his offering. If your heart is not right with God, your offering is no good. That's what he's trying to say. So God respected Abel, then his offering.
But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
See, but Cain, he did not respect. That's why he could not respect his offering. So what God wants? He wants your heart, not the money. You remember in Matthew chapter 5, and read from verse 22, he says, if you come and stand before God, and if you remember is something wrong you did with your brother or you're angry with him, what do you do? Keep your offering there and go and talk to your brother or ask forgiveness or forgive him. Then come back and give the offering. From that we know God is not looking for your offering. He's looking for your heart. So he is trying to say to these Pharisees, your heart is not right. Your heart is full of evil things. And then you are trying to give your tithes from even little things. And you are not understanding the will of God. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 43.
Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them.
Now he's trying to say the Pharisees and scribes, they're all well known in the Bible. He's saying, you Pharisees, you need name and fame. You want people to salute you. You want people to say good about you. And that's why you are filled up with a pride that I am somebody. People should respect me. And that's what you're thinking. And he's saying, but your life is like a grave. And that grave is no tombstone there. Flat graves, and people are walking on those graves and they don't even know there is a dead body under their feet. That means he's saying, people do not know you, that you are so evil. You are so like a dead person, and people are walking and they don't know even there is a grave there. In short, he is trying to say, people are dealing with you. You are evil, sinful. They are giving you respect. They are saluting you, but they don't know you are dead people or like a sepulcher or graveyard. People even do not know what kind of work you are doing. Sometimes people are calling themselves ministers, so people give them respect. Now, if I'm walking on the street, nobody will say I'm a minister. But if I wear the collar upside down and I put a cross, and they will say he's a pastor. So they give a respect. And that's why people are doing it. Some people walk with a rope so people can give them respect. But people don't know what kind of evil people they are inside. So he's saying that's the way you're doing it. And so people even do not know what your heart is, but God knows what kind of heart you have. Verse 45.
Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them.
Some lawyers came and said, Are you telling us we are also bad? He was talking to Pharisees, and the lawyers sitting there said, You thinking we are also bad? He said, Sure, you are also bad, because you know how to judge and judgment, but what you're doing, you putting the burden on people, and not even putting your finger means not helping them. And so that's the kind of life you are living. And he says, what you're doing, you're building the sepulchres, means grave, for the prophets which your father killed them. So what he's trying to say, your father killed the prophets. You would have said, you killed the prophet, and I'm sorry about it. And so you should not be killing them, but you approve them and make that grave so everybody knows somebody killed that prophet. So you're doing actually advertisement, or you're doing actually promoting what your parents did. So in short, he's trying to say your parents were evil and you are evil also. Let's read verse 48.
Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres.
So in short, he's trying to say, your fathers were evil, they killed the prophets, and now you making the tombs, so you're agreeing your fathers, forefathers, and you're doing the same thing. There is no change of heart in your life. So he's trying to say, your parents did it, and you are doing it. This is what he's saying. The forefathers did it, and even though we know that's wrong, but people are carrying the tradition, and they don't want to give up their old habits. Once you know the truth, then you will give up. There are so many people keeping the tradition and not knowing why they're doing it. And so if that tradition is not good, we should get rid of it. Verse 49.
Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute.
God is saying, I'm going to send more prophets, more apostles. For what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, all prophets you have killed. That means each and every prophet came into this world in the Old Testament, they were all killed by people.
That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
Now what he's trying to say? From Abel to Zechariah, all these prophets were killed. And God is saying, I'm going to send more people, and more prophets will be killed. And then the judgment will come. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, starting from verse 9. Revelation 6,
okay.
9 to 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
There are all the prophets, so many, from Abel to Zechariah, when Jesus Christ was saying. But after that Zechariah, many more prophets and many more people are killed. And those people are asking revenge. He says, wait, the number is not fulfilled. That means more people are going to give their life for Christ and for his kingdom. The people who are going against God and going against the work of God, God is going to require their blood and their revenge. Your heart is evil and your thoughts are evil and you are doing like your forefather did, and they killed many of the prophets, and God says, I'm going to wait. Many more prophets, many more apostles will be killed, and then I'm going to take the revenge. Okay, go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 52.
Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered.
You know the Bible. You know Bible laws. You know Bible teaching. And what you're doing, God has given you the key of the kingdom. If somebody reads the Word of God, they can get saved. The Bible was not allowed to read. They were not allowing people to read the Bible. What was the reason? Because if they come to know, they will go to heaven and our job will be nothing. So we know the truth, so come to us. We have the knowledge. But he says, you have the key, you have the knowledge, but what you're trying to do, but you are hindrance to the people. That means you are not teaching the truth, you are misleading people, and they are going to go to hell. Even though you have the Bible, you know how many people, how many churches, they have the Bible, but they are not teaching the truth. Somebody says, don't they have a Bible? One person calls me, he said, why some church people, they have the Bible and they don't know the full gospel and they don't preach the full gospel? I said, sir, each and every denomination, they took their own ideas mixed with their religion and their philosophy. And that's why any person got saved, they teach their doctrine and that person becomes their leader. For example, just think, one person got saved by Salvation Army. And that person said, go to Salvation Army school. And this person goes to Salvation Army school. He's innocent. He doesn't know the truth. And they teach them, you don't have to be baptized. You don't need the Lord's Supper. And they learn that. They learn like 10, 20, 30 years. And they go to the full gospel church and they said, hey, you should be baptized. Oh no, our church doesn't teach that. And so that's what they hold, the tradition, what they learn. One man was talking to one Catholic lady. And he was saying, Bible says so, and the Bible says this. She said, I don't care what your Bible says. I don't listen to the Bible, I listen to my priest. The point I'm making, there are people do not know the truth. Why is that? Somebody blinded their eyes. And he says, you are holding the key and you are hindering them to enter into the kingdom of God. So there are so many people knowing the truth, but they are not teaching other people, because if they tell them, then they will be not staying with their denomination. We should know the truth. And the word of God said, truth shall set you free. When I came from India, in India, there are so many religions. So I had freedom. I could go to Muslim religion. I was studying in Hindu school. So I know all about Hindu religion. I learned some about Muslim religion. And so I know so much about Buddhist religion. So I have freedom to go and get any religion for me. The same way, Christianity. In Bombay, there are Salvation Army, they have Methodists, they have Presbyterian, they have Baptists, they have Pentecostal, and they have Catholic, and all kinds of denominations. I was not even saved. So just think that if somebody would have given me job in a Catholic religion or Methodist religion, I would be preaching about them. But when Jesus Christ saved me, and I said, Lord, I want to know where the people, right kind of people, right kind of prayer, right kind of life living. And he showed me the full gospel church. They were praising God and glorifying God and living clean and holy life. I said, hey, this is the kind of life I want. But they are not using the keys to enter themselves. And if somebody wants to enter, he said, hey, don't go in. And so they don't go in, and they don't allow other people to go in. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, let's read the following verses. Verse 53.
And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him.
Jesus Christ says, Pharisees, woe to them, woe to the lawyers. And now they got so mad, and they start asking him all kinds of questions. And they wanted him to say something so they can catch him in his fault. But Jesus Christ was much smarter than anybody. He says, greater than the Solomon is here. That means you don't tell me that I'm doing something wrong. If the Solomon has that much wisdom, who gave him wisdom? God gave him wisdom. I'm the Son of God. I have all the wisdom, all the knowledge, and all the purity, and all the holiness. You don't know. So they tried to trap him. They were not able to trap him in any situation. We are going to stop here. And let's pray. Let's rise and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. You have given us your knowledge, your wisdom, your power, your holiness. Our eyes is the light for our body. So we are going to keep our eyes holy. Focus on Jesus Christ. So we will be not doing any evil, as well as we will be learning the truth and teaching others to follow the truth. Your word says you have given us the keys of the kingdom. So Lord, give us grace to use the God-given wisdom to teach the truth and bring people from the darkness to the light. And let us live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.